Our next guest is Mike Akins, founding partner at ETF Action, which is a brand new ETF research platform that Mike is helping to build out. They offer all sorts of tools, particularly to financial advisors, with the goal being to help them better research and evaluate ETFs and even the broader financial markets. Interestingly, prior to founding ETF Action, Mike was the head of ETFs at Alps Advisors, where he oversaw all aspects of some $15 billion in ETFs. He was there for over 10 years, so Mike certainly qualifies as an ETF industry veteran, and he's now joining us via phone from Denver. Mike, great having you on the show this week.
That's great to be here, Nate. Thanks for having me.
Mike, let's start with ETF Action, and then we're going to have some fun this week. I have a whole laundry list of ETF topics that we can dive into. But first, tell us more about your background and why you decided to launch ETF Action.
Sure, you bet. ETF Action is a technology and research firm with the singular goal of simplifying the ETF screening, research, and selection process. You think about kind of why we decided to launch it. There's now 2,200 plus ETFs tracking over, 100,000 different stocks and bonds. So the process is very daunting, but the capabilities are endless. So we wanted to create something that allowed users a comprehensive process for evaluating, finding, navigating, and researching ETFs with the goal of building customized portfolios for their clients. I think it's interesting with ETF Action, we really break our model into three main categories we offer up at one flat subscription rate. And the idea being is there's a process to any investment process, no matter whether you're doing single security selection, mutual fund evaluation, or ETFs, and it really starts with infrastructure. In order to properly align ETFs, et cetera, you have to have the infrastructure to find and quickly evaluate strategies. That's really what we started with ETF Action. We have a very robust data set procured from best-in-class providers that allows folks to break down ETFs at different levels, basically being structural data, the type of ETF, expense ratio, as well as descriptive data, category, investment objective, investment methodology, links to sponsors, to index providers, where you can really get into the nuts and bolts of the strategy. And then, most importantly, constituent data. I think that a lot of people are trying to rewrite the how to evaluate and do investment through ETFs. And the reality is ETFs are just tools, and some tools are really good for what you're trying to achieve and some aren't, but they're just baskets of securities. And we don't think we should be reinventing the wheel to evaluate them, but we should have the tools and the functionality to aggregate the proper composition data, fundamental data, technical data to allow users to easily find strategies that align with their goals, with their client needs, and with their market assumptions. Yep. So that's kind of step one of our whole process is to provide that infrastructure, and then we provide with it a lead-by-example research platform where we utilize our tools, our infrastructure, to create ongoing research across segments, categories, opportunities, and then we end with the ability to follow model templates that we've built out that allow, that again, lead by example to show folks how they might create a sector and industry strategy, how they might create a factor strategy, create that template to utilize our software as a service.
Mike, I was poking around the ETF Action website and I saw that you provide what I thought was a really comprehensive daily note. This included a market overview. There's some economic data. You highlight ETF performance. There are some ETF charts as well. Is this always available for free? Because I didn't need a login to access this.
Yeah, that's right. So we do our daily note is free. It's a limited version of what we provide to subscribers. But the idea is we wanted to show how ETFs can be used to perform market research. Honestly, at this point in time, with the number of ETFs out there, the vast majority of a portfolio can be built utilizing these super transparent, liquid, nearly free tools. And we wanted to show folks how, through commentary, they can see on a regular basis how to think about using ETFs across those different segments.
All right. So if people are interested in checking out the Daily Note or they're interested in exploring the research platform, I assume just go to etfaction.com. Is there a free trial available?
There is. There's a free trial. Right now, you do have to put your credit card in. We're going to do a new release the end of July of our entire website that's going to involve a bunch of more visualization and functionality for downloading, et cetera. And at that point in time, we're going to do away with our early adopter special and allow for free trials without using a credit card. But, yeah, they can sign up for the Daily Note. It's a great way to stay on top of what we're doing right there on the website, and it's free. It's one simple. We don't hit you with a bunch of, emails. It's just one simple Daily Note each day at 6 Eastern, 4 Mountain Time here in Denver.
Our guest is Mike Akins, founding partner of ETF Action. Mike, let's move on to our rapid-fire ETF Q&A. So I have a bunch of different ETF topics we can cover here. We'll see how many we can get to. And perhaps we can start by discussing a few of the broader trends we're seeing in the ETF space. Clearly, there continues to be a flood of money into iShares and Vanguard ETFs, right? There's still this intense focus on ETF fees by investors. Do you have any concerns here? Or does this all make sense to you? And I just feel like maybe you might have a unique perspective, given that you were at a smaller ETF provider, right? You were trying to compete with these larger players. Is there too much focus on cost? And are you concerned with iShares and Vanguard dominating flows?
Short answer is no, but clearly it's a bit of a conundrum. I think it's very similar to the discussion happening in big tech right now. You have a situation where it is very competitive market because of what technology is disrupting. It's creating a better environment for the consumer, for the end investor, right? So the low cost is a good thing. Access is a good thing. So I think if you really think about it, ultimately ETFs are just tools, and so long as they're a wide variety of strategies, market forces will keep things in balance. And what I mean by wide variety is, just because if I'm SSGA and I dominate the sector market, as long as investors aren't all buying the XLU, the utilities, and they're making their own market assumptions, then we have a balanced market. Where I think a concern with ETFs, a bigger concern would be the idea of everybody just owning one specific product, that would create all kinds of issues. But I don't see that occurring. And I think, look, if you build the right strategy at the right cost, people will come. But it's a tough game. And you have to know that the big three or the big four are going to come after you if you build the right strategy. So you need to get there first, and you need to be prepared to defend your market share with fee cutting.
So let's play this out. What do you think happens longer term? Well, let's say iShares and Vanguard continue dominating and growing market share. Do you think there's a possibility that the government would ever step in at some point? And you were alluding to this. It's odd because this isn't a situation where you have a few players dominating and raising prices, right? Instead, you have investor costs coming down. You said, it's creating a better environment for the consumer. So is there even the rationale for the government to get involved?
I think the only thing that's big picture concerning would be if ETFs, and we're nowhere near this point, ETFs in the traditional passive sense. So I'm not talking factor-based strategies or niche market segment strategies, but the Vanguard approach of market capitalization investing, there will be an inflection point with respect to too much money being passive, but we're nowhere near that if you look at average ownership of securities in a passive vehicle versus active. At some point, the pendulum always swings too far. I just don't think we're near that at right now. And at that point, the regulators would have to be very concerned about proxy voting, governance of companies, because the ownership is so passive.
All right. So to your point, one of the reasons iShares and Vanguard are raking in so much cash right now is investors are continuing to gravitate towards passive investing, index-based investing. But as I'm sure you're aware, recently the SEC approved a non-transparent ETF structure. Excuse me. It's called Active Shares. So it functions very similar to a traditional ETF, but fund managers won't have to disclose their holdings on a daily basis. Do you think that could potentially shift the tide for active managers just by lowering the fee and lowering the tax hurdle, which theoretically would then give them a better shot at generating some outperformance?
Yeah, I think implemented properly, it's fantastic. It should have been, in my opinion, approved 5-6 years ago, but there's a couple of big caveats, and it falls on the sponsors and the market makers to get it right. And that's really number one, spreads and trade execution. Low cost is great, but you have to think about low cost from a totality picture, transaction costs included. So they have to get it right, and they have to do right by the users of these strategies. And then I think the other bigger thing probably is this idea that if an active manager wants to be successful in using an ETF, they need to embrace what's made ETF so great, and that's their empowering portfolio construction tool. So essentially, if active managers come out and they want to create a one-size-fits-all, buy our strategy, you've got your equities taken care of, buy our fixed income, you've got our... That's one of the things that's made ETF so great, is that people are allowed to implement their own needs and market assumptions through ETF. So if active management comes in and says, hey, I can do cybersecurity better, or I can do technology better, or I can do quality better than a simple rules-based strategy, I think they'll be successful. If they come in and say, you know, here's our core ETF strategy, I think it's going to be overwhelmingly difficult, assuming a higher expense ratio, to add value, and they'll struggle, just like those big mutual funds are struggling outside of the 401k market, and that's just because it's captive.
Our guest is Mike Akins, founding partner of ETF Action. Mike, switching gears, something you actually mentioned to me offline a few weeks ago, which I thought was really interesting, is this idea that ETFs have become excellent market research tools, not just excellent investment tools. Do you want to explain what you mean by that?
Absolutely. So this is really what gets me geeked up and got myself and my partners excited about ETF Action. The reality is single security research, while extremely important, is also extremely noisy. There's thousands of variables that need to be assessed when looking at a company, and that needs to be assessed at some point, but not out of the gate. And I think if you just take a step back and think about index proliferation and the licensing of those indexes started at the institutional level to enhance research capabilities, right? The reason those indexes started coming out from S&P and MSCI is because institutions were demanding, hey, provide me something that I can bucket the market into various segments. Well, with the evolution of the ETF, and you basically by rule, ETF being transparent, now with the right technology, you can take ever-growing segments of the market and strategies, call it equal weight versus market cap or retail companies versus online companies, and you can look at those at a broad brush. So the use cases are endless, but a couple of examples I think of, you know, security selection. If I was an active manager, and if we implement and our vision properly at ETF Action, I anticipate several active managers utilizing our platform, because if I want to identify areas that are attractive for me to invest in, there's no better way than to identify my favorite ETFs tracking that space. So, you know, there's a lot of work that would go into finding 50 companies that are quote-unquote cybersecurity or online retail companies. ETF providers have done the work for you. Now you have the shell to start looking at those companies. It really expedites that process. But then it goes on to another great example would be earnings, revenues, and trends by segment. You know, so looking at how many earnings beats and misses there are by an ever-growing segment. So I always like to use retail and versus online. But if you look at percentage of companies that beat for an ETF like iBuy or ONLN, the online retail ETF, versus something more traditional like XRT, you see extreme examples of trends playing out that had you used that bottom-up analysis of aggregating those securities early on, those trends would have become, you know, present an opportunity to differentiate your portfolio. Technical indicators is another great example. People look at breadth of market, moving averages of the underlying constituents of broad-based indexes. It's just as powerful, if not more powerful, at the individual level. And the reason the ETF is such a great research tool is it's, other than the constituent data, it's free. To license 2,200 indexes would be a staggering dollar amount to go out and negotiate those licensing fees. But ETFs, by rule, track those indexes perfectly. They are those indexes. And it provides this opportunity to really complement your research efforts and simplify the research process.
Well, you know, when you first mentioned this concept to me, I immediately thought of Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas. So I don't know if you've seen this, but he's come out with a basket of ETFs representing traders, so the so-called smart money. And, you know, he has heavily traded ETFs like SPY and the Qs in there. And then he has another basket of ETFs representing longer term investors. So the allocators, more the retail side, that includes something like VOO. And the idea here is to look at flows to track how these two groups are reacting to the market, which then theoretically could provide a nice snapshot of market sentiment. I just thought that was a pretty good example of what you're talking about. Mike, we only have a couple of minutes left here. I want to close with a few questions that I like to ask everyone. So we're going to have to go quick here. First, Bitcoin ETF, yes or no? Should there be one?
Yes, demand is there, and it's a better mousetrap than the Bitcoin Trust, which is trading at 100% premium to NAV.
Agreed. Besides a Bitcoin ETF, is there an ETF that doesn't currently exist that you would like to see?
I wouldn't say one specific ETF, but I would like to see more rebalance optimization in ETFs. I'd like to see that expanded. And what I mean is, like, the idea of blind rebalancing, randomized rebalancing. I think there's an opportunity set there to make the ETF structure even better by creating ETFs that allow some sort of defenses against market activity.
All right, your favorite under-the-radar ETF. And to be clear, this is not an investment recommendation, just an ETF. You think doesn't necessarily get the attention it deserves?
I would do a series, so the Spider Kensho series. It's cheating a little bit, but they've got six thematic strategies now that have only gathered less than $100 million in total across the six strategies. Very low cost for theme-based strategies and very interesting topics.
All right, your favorite ETF ticker symbol?
This is a no-brainer for me. UFO, Procure Space ETF, follows the S Network Space Index.
That's a good one. And then lastly, what has you most excited for the future of ETFs?
I think direct indexing through basically proliferating ETF strategists, which I think will be mostly a good thing. But I think direct indexing gets at this whole idea that it's going to be disrupting ETFs. I don't see that. The reality is it's way too expensive, way too complicated. But I do think direct indexing using ETF models will expand the ability for ETF strategists to come to market, providing more and more options to create customized portfolios using the superior structure of the ETF.
Well, Mike, this was a lot of fun. Congratulations on the rollout of ETF Action. We'll have to touch base later this year to see how everything is going, but certainly wish you all the best. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
That was Mike Akins, founding partner of ETF Action.